Final sermon in the series, A Sacred Sorrow, and I'm sure some of you are very glad to hear that. But I hope that in some way it's been helpful and a blessing to each one of you. I know it has for me to be able to review this with you. It was a series I gave a number of years ago, and some things that really came home to me this time in sharing it with you. And I'd like to just do a recap of the past few months, actually, of getting through this series, of some of the things that I'd encourage you to bring home. One is, first of all, Michael Card's book, A Sacred Sorrow. If you haven't gotten this yet, I would encourage you to do that. You might not be going through a time of struggle or sorrow right now, but there is somebody in your life, or maybe even your neighborhood, who is. And this is just a great work that really brings us into the scriptures and invites us alongside some of the great men and women of God and their own struggles in life and how they pressed into God in the midst of that. What are some of the things that we learned over the past few months? Well, one of the things I'd like you to take home is the idea that the sorrow and the struggle that you go through in life is sacred to God. One of the things that you and I think we struggle with is that when we're going through struggle, we often feel like God is a million miles away. And that's a very real feeling. We feel at times abandoned by God. But one of the things you and I need to continue to be brought home to is the reality that when we're suffering, those are actually the moments when God is the closest. I don't know if you saw that poster before about the little poem Footprints. But there's that image of the footprints in the sand, and there's one that I've seen where the Lord is actually carrying the person. With the whole idea that sometimes the journey gets so hard and so much of a struggle that the Lord is actually carrying us and enabling us to keep on going. And I believe at times the Lord does that with such a grace and such a mystery that we don't even know he's doing it. And so I invite us to realize that our sorrow is sacred to God. Another reality that I think we've learned through this series is that sorrow and struggle is a part of human life and that it's okay. One of the things I encourage us, again, not to say to somebody who's in the midst of struggling and sorrow is to get over it. I encourage us not to do that. And in fact, if you feel moved to do that, just remember this moment with me and keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. You will be giving them a great gift in your silence. And sometimes, again, when I've been in hospitals and in the midst of situations where parents are losing children that are very young, I'll be honest with you, I don't know what to say. And the truth is, what can you say? I think the greatest reality in that moment is a profound silence and sorrow and suffering in the midst of the loss that's going on, and to share that grief and to be with them. And so just to realize that and to embrace that reality. The other reality I want us to realize from this series is that sorrow is a part of life. Just don't build your home there. Again, we've all come across people in our lives, and maybe there might even be places in our own life where we love to have a pity party. We have that mud hole of sorrow that happened, just decades ago. I still hear the stories from some people, and they just won't let it go. You won't just let it go. I won't just let it go. And again, part of the encouragement from this series is, will you let it go? And again, one of the invitations in sorrow is to press into the Lord in the midst of our sorrow and allow him to bring healing to our lives. And so that as the Lord brings healing, as we have a sense of God's presence and comfort and mercy and power in the midst of our sorrow, God will bring us to another place where that sorrow will probably be lessened. It might be completely removed, or it might be something that we can live with in a way that has grace and mercy and love associated with it. And so that's what's important that we do with our sorrow is, again, not be rooted in it, but press into God in the midst of it and grow in that. And so that's what I'd like to share with us as a recap of this series. In your bulletin today, there's an insert, a green insert. On one side of it is entitled Writing Your Own Lament. I want to invite you to get that out right now. And I'm going to review that with you here today. And this is your homework assignment over this coming week or 2 weeks, is to take some time to write your own lament. and to realize that this takes time. Again, for me, one of the things that's helpful is I journal. And depending on what I'm going through, if it's a very difficult, struggling, and sorrowful time, I'm usually writing a lot of stuff. And for me, that's very helpful because a lot of thoughts and a lot of feelings and a lot of things that are just bouncing around up in here and down in my gut, it just feels so much better when I can get it down on paper because it feels like it comes out of me. Long walks help with that as well, too. And then, so that's what this writing your own lament is about. It's about really getting in touch with your feelings, with your sorrows, and with your struggles, and getting in touch with God as well. I can tell already that some of you are real excited about this assignment. This is the last place you wanted to go, but it's an important place that you go. Because again, I believe one of the reasons why God has me preaching this message is he wants all of us to move on from our camp of sorrow into the joy that he has for us. And so one of the things as we look at this, I want you to, again, remember the Old Testament lesson in Isaiah. This was a prophetic word by Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And yet, as you read this particular text, you can't help but see the Lord Jesus in this. And one of the images that comes to mind for me is the night in Gethsemane, as he's crying out before God, Lord, Father, I don't want to drink this cup. Nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. And we see this back and forth struggle between Jesus and his Father in heaven. It is a real lament. It is an expression of sorrow before his Father that he doesn't want to go through this incredible time of torture, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. It is Jesus' lament before his Father. And so we see that honesty. We see Jesus pressing into God. And we see in Jesus a tremendous example to us of what it means to live a life of faith with God that at times means paying the ultimate sacrifice. And so in writing your own lament, I invite you to read along with me as I review this with you. We've learned from lament that you can and should offer everything as an act of worship to God. And again, we see that in the life of Jesus on his last night upon this earth, that he offered his very life upon the cross as the ultimate act of worship to the Father for our redemption. As you move toward prayer, don't force the issue. Perhaps there is no pressing need for you to lament right now. Maybe there's some deeper listening you need to do in your own life before you move into lament. Perhaps this would be a good time to examine your own exhaustion. Come with a willingness to open your life completely to the Holy Spirit, asking him to place a finger on those scars that need to be offered up through lament. This is a process that always takes more time than you or I could imagine. This is heart work only accomplished by the help of the Spirit. So as you begin to write your lament this coming week, make sure you turn off your cell phone, put it in another room, turn off the TV. Make sure you have some time set aside where no one will interrupt you, and it's a good space in your day. And just give the Spirit an opportunity to have some time with you, to speak to your heart. As noted in this first paragraph, maybe there's nothing that you know of to lament about at this time. Maybe there's some exhaustion you need to look at. Maybe it's a matter of your schedule. Maybe it's a matter of relationship. But I will guarantee you that as you take time to just be still before God and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to move in your heart, the Holy Spirit will bring something to your attention. And do it in a way that's graceful and merciful and will bring about healing. And that's the time that we need to have with God over this coming week, that the Lord might do this in a very powerful and very deep way. As thoughts for lament do begin to surface, remember those qualities we saw in Job, David, Jeremiah, and especially Jesus. They existed in marvelous freedom before God. They possessed a stubborn refusal to turn away from God. They understood with their hearts as well as their minds that God's character was defined by hesed. Now here's a little memory test. What does the Hebrew word hesed mean? Okay, that was the same answer last night. That's okay. I'm going to remind you. In the Hebrew, hesed means loving kindness. Can you say that with me? Loving kindness. Loving kindness. So if you say the word hesed with me, hesed. You just learned the Hebrew word for loving kindness. And so this was one of the things that the people of the scripture in their lament always remembered about God, that God's defining characteristic is his loving kindness toward us. Even though you might not believe it in the moment, God is loving kindness toward us. And so they also realized that in the midst of God's chesed, that most of all they needed his presence. Do you? Do I? As you write your own laments, describe what that yearning for presence feels like in your own life. And so this is an important part of the process. As you and I take time to lament and go through our struggle, it's an invitation to begin to press into God with that and be honest with God about what's going on. The second bullet point, you may want to make use of the formula of remembrance we saw in so many laments. Ask yourself, what has God done in my life that is worth remembering? Again, this is the word of testimony. It's remembering the ways in which God has been there for you in the past. And guess what? If God has been there for you in the past, he will probably be with you here in the present moment as well. And it's just important to remember those moments where God was there for you so that you can have hope that God will be with you in the present moment. Very important to do that. This question will move you in the direction of seeing the worship of God for yourself. You see, in those moments where we remember that God was with us in the past, it's like an aha moment. Again, in the midst of struggle and sorrow, we don't remember those moments. We completely forget them. That's why you need to save this sheet. You need to put it in your Bible, put it on your bathroom mirror, keep it with you, because in the moment of struggle, you will forget the times that God has been there for you. It's just human nature. And we need to take a moment to remember, oh yeah, God was with me during this thing. He can be with me in this thing and help me work it through. Bullet point number three, at some point you will inevitably experience the crossing of the line we saw occurring through the vov adversative in the laments. Remember, this is not a formula, but a form. The movement from me-centeredness to God-centeredness cannot be forced. It also is the Spirit's work. Let it happen on its own. And so again, this is a very important thing that needs to happen in your life and my life as we express our sorrow before God. And you and I need to watch for this. So often in our own lives, when we're going through struggle or sorrow, whatever it might be, we're very me-centered. We're very much focused on ourselves. We're busy arguing in our own mind with the other person in terms of what's going on, right? Or we're very busy trying to solve this problem, or woe is me. And again, it's a very normal human response. We're focused on me. And the gift of lament can be that you will move from me to God. You see, you need to make a movement from yourself to God and connect with him. Connect with his loving kindness. Connect with his presence. Connect with his wisdom in the moment. Connect with God's word to you. Connect with a sense of his Spirit and his peace. And how do you do that? You don't get off your knees until you have peace. That's what I do. And sometimes I'm there a long time. It might be a half an hour. It might be an hour. But I don't leave until I receive God's peace. That's how I know I've had the breakthrough. And there's a sense of his presence. There's a sense of God's grace. And I'm centered on God. See? That's the movement that needs to happen. That might happen with you with prayer. Maybe you love to listen to worship music. Do it with worship music. Maybe it's walking along the golf. Go walk along the golf. Whatever works for you, please do it to move you from being centered in on yourself to being centered in on God, because the answer will lie with God. It will not lie with you. Again, one of the things that's come home to me as God has spoken to me in those times is, Joe, you just need to shut up. In terms of my own self-talk and also talking with others. I know it's hard for you to believe, and it's hard for me to believe, that our talking won't help the situation more. But at times, the grace is to be still and not to say anything more and to wait. Movement needs to happen, and you need to give God time to move. At other times, it is important for you to speak and you need God's courage and grace to speak, and pray into that. Pray that there would be God's presence. Pray that there would be mercy. Pray that there would be love. And guess what's happening? Not only is God moving in your own heart, but God is moving in the situation as well. You're giving room for God to move in the other person's heart as well. And I can tell you, situation after situation, where I've actually begun to move in this by God's grace, and it's turned out totally different from how during the times when I handled it. Night and day difference. And the difference was I could tell God was in the moment. God was at work. God was happening. God was moving. Move from me to God. And each one of us as believers, we need to make that movement, however long it takes. Finally, after it does take place, spend as much time as you can simply inhabiting this new place before the throne of God. Thank God for graciously sharing his presence with you. It's an amazing and costly gift he gives, full access to his throne. You see, beloved, in the midst of our sorrow and the struggles of our life, in the midst of what it means to truly be a human being, God is deeply inviting you and me to break through our self-centeredness in the midst of that to him, to press into God, to follow the example of Jesus, who pressed into his Father's love and his grace and his presence to him in one of the most torturous, troubling, and difficult times of his life because of what God, his Father, was calling him to do. And there was a grace for him to endure the cross, to endure the shame, to endure the pain, such that he is now risen from the dead. And he sits in heaven on a throne, interceding for you and me. And that one day, because of his great sacrifice and because of his pressing into his Father, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's how much God's heart was touched by his son's sacrifice. That's how much God's heart was moved that his son would press into him during his darkest hour. And that's how much our Abba's heart will be moved as you and I press into him in our darkest moments as well.